Joe Zuccarbello. This is TabeelPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our studios high atop Tbilisi's sunny and beautiful Rustavelli Avenue. Today is Thursday, 23rd of May, 2013. On this date in 1568, the Netherlands declares independence from Spain and starts the 80 Years' War. In 1701, Captain Kidd, who is not actually a pirate, is hanged in London. In 1829, the accordion is patented by Cyril Demian in Vienna.
One of the great things the Austrians have ever did. I was not aware of that.
The greatest thing the Austrians have ever done, by the way, along with Klimt. In 1844, a guy with a lot of chutzpah in Shiraz announces that he is a prophet and Mahdi and starts a religious movement that would later be crushed by the Persian government, still is, by the way, founding the Baha'i faith. 1873, the Canadian Parliament establishes the Mounties. 1934, Bonnie and Clyde are ambushed by police and killed in Black Lake, Louisiana. In 1945, Heinrich Himmler, head of the SS, commits suicide in Allied custody. 1951, Tibetans sign the 17-point agreement for the peaceful liberation of Tibet with the People's Republic of China. 1960, Adolf Eichmann is captured in Argentina. 1995, the first version of the Java programming language is released. 1998, the Good Friday Agreement is accepted in a referendum in Northern Ireland with 75% voting yes. The birthday today is Valery Shalikishvili, actor, director, and playwright, born in 1874, died in 1919. We are Cameron Christensen, Matthias Hooter, and me, Mark Mullen. Nothing we say can be connected with any of our employers, past, present, or future. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. Great post about the importance of veterinary medicine and contagious diseases protecting people. From Simon, of course, and some discussion of the Justice Minister Teotihuacan Lukiani's comments about let's all just get along, both sides of the demonstration, which, you know, were found annoying by the person who was posting, considering some of the videos of the vans getting, you know, beaten up and how the imbalance of violence was certainly noticeable. Very reasonable comment that if the Patriarch really wanted to stop the violence, he could just defrock those priests who had incited it, most of whom are on camera, and that would solve the problem toot sweet. To comment or ask us for an opinion or to follow up on something, go to tabeelpod.com or send us an email at tabeelpod@gmail.com. Be sure to keep the minister's questions coming. Actually, our interviews have not been the minister's. We had one yesterday with Dato Usupashvili. That this podcast supersedes, so go into the upper right-hand corner and click that. He is, of course, the chair of Parliament, and it's quite interesting, especially the blow-by-blow on the constitutional amendments. My Georgian journal in Fides Politra article this week is predictably about the events Friday and whether the church's leadership will be investigated and prosecuted with the vigor the leaders of the former government have been. There's also a bit about the Georgian understanding of gayness. On Friday, Orthodox Christian priests and activists successfully prevented a peaceful LGBT solidarity demonstration in Tbilisi, which was set to mark the International Day Against Homophobia. The crowd of anti-gay protesters shouted, "You're defending pederasts," and "Victory to Georgia," stormed past police lines near Freedom Square Metro, to attack the supporters with fist stones, nettles, one priest even wielding a metal stool.
I think it was a wooden one.
Yeah.
Wooden
yeah.
stool.
Which makes it so much better.
What is it called? It's not, what's it like in Russian, the page, it's not Chiburashka, it's Tabashka or Tabuka or something. I can't remember. Anyway.
Tabureka, I think.
It's Tabureka, yeah, something like that. It's a very funny Facebook page. Police attempted to evacuate the demonstrators from the city. However, one minibus left too late and was surrounded by a large mob on Kolmarinova Square, who pummeled the minibus with stones, smashed all the windows while police inside and around the vehicles attempted to evacuate the demonstrators. Over 20 people were injured in violent incidents reported throughout the day, including a few police officers and a journalist. Approximately 14 were hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries.
This is actually very well documented. I posted it myself to Facebook, and it's not only that. I mean, they attacked them with trash cans and beat the front windshield in. They beat all the windows in. They were trying to attack people through the sides of the windows. I mean, it's all incredibly violent and incredibly disgusting to watch. Not only that, but I think, you know, looking at if they really wanted to identify these people, I mean, if we remember the Bush grenade incident, the amount of police work that went into that to identifying the person. I mean, there is so much documentation about what happened that these people could easily be identified. Not only the individual citizens that were involved, but the priests who were also there egging it on.
Yeah, that's definitely true. In talking to Usupashvili about this yesterday, he said something interesting, which was that if the people had been arrested at the spot, it really would have just caused even greater anger by the mob, and it was really a mob. I mean, the mob was completely out of control and was really ignoring the police. And he said, "You know, we don't need quick arrests, but there will be arrests, and you know, watch. So we'll see about this. This needs to be investigated. Finding these people, I know a paid crowd, and there were a lot in front of Parliament. The women with nettles, and there were a lot of older people there that I think was, I mean, I'm not saying all of them were paid, but I think a large number of them were. I saw a woman with lists of names and mobile numbers, and people coming up to her saying, you know, when, and her saying, let's, you know, wait later on. I presume that was for payment. And then there was groups of young men who were. Who had come in, and I talked to a witness who saw several cars. They had sort of white kind of handkerchiefs and flags that were coming out from the cars as they were coming into town, and there were a lot of cars and many young people. You could tell from the accents that a lot of the people had come in from outside Tbilisi. Who and how that was organized is not particularly clear, and so you know that. Could slow down the investigation. So let's give them some time, but let's see how they were acted. I think the worst thing was the four that were arrested that were let off, pretty quick with a wrist slap.
What was it, a hundred or a thousand?
100
lari fine, and they're not allowed to carry weapons for 3 years.
Something like that.
Which is already illegal, so that's nice.
The LGBT rally in Kutaisi on the same day was relatively peaceful, with no injuries reported, only yelling. Following the mob violence on Friday, Patriarch Ilya II issued a statement telling people to leave the streets. He called on both sides to pray for each other.
I think that's a really interesting contrast, considering the day before he had said very different statements about how he felt that there should be no protests in front anywhere, and that there should be no recognition of sexual minorities in Georgia. So essentially, after Bidzina Ivanishvili had come out and said fairly positive remarks about how sexual minorities need to be protected, the patriarch then came out the day before and said that this protest should not be allowed to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I mean, I think Ivanishvili's comments were fairly good before, but were much more clear a couple of days after the fact. There was really sort of radio silence over the weekend, but then more.
Yeah, but
more
he was at the police day and gave a speech there and basically kind of thanked the police and said, "You did a really good job yesterday at the protests," which is not the case, and I think that's actually one of the things that I'm a bit worried about. So when they had blocked off Rustaveli and the first row of protesters were priests, and the police basically just opened up to them. They didn't want to touch priests, and they didn't want to get in any,
I think we were all wandering around there, and we all saw different pieces of this. I don't know whether I would be so critical of the police. I mean, I think my assessment was that they were not very well managed by the leadership. There were a lot of them there. It was good that there were a lot of them there, and I don't think that they were getting particularly clear instructions. But they were blocking people off. And what was happening was that there would be, there would be some spark that somebody would. I mean, as it turned out, some people would get beat up. Not necessarily gay people, but the mob would just turn on somebody because they looked different or whatever else. And then lots of people would start running there, and the police would would block off different groups that would just end up sort of moving moving around. And so I don't know that that it's so clear that the police did such a bad job. I think the leadership did a bad job in not giving them better instructions on how to deal with that. I also think in those cases where they had the police approaching lines, if the police, I mean, what I saw was that the police would have had to start beating priests. And if that had happened, that I don't think that would have ended ended well.
But
that case where the priest led the crowd down to Freedom Square from between Parliament where the line was blocking between Parliament and Freedom Square, if the crowd wanted to just, I mean, they got there and there was nothing at Freedom Square. There's no real reason for that to, you know, change. And then they blocked them again on a smaller street going down towards Colmar Nova.
There's some great video actually showing a priest literally physically assaulting a police officer to break through the cordon and then pulling him away. You know, so I don't know. I mean, yeah.
But Georgia has different. I mean, they have water throwers and they have these sound equipment machines, right? That they haven't brought out since the state of emergency in 2007, but like these. Basically, these cars that have these, I don't know, sound dishes that can send very targeted noise at groups of people that is very unpleasant and makes you go away. So, I mean, they could have at least had that equipment out there just to show, you know,
there's
a bit more backup.
Absolutely. And I'd like to underline again that it was priests leading that and that priests were being physically abusive.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about that. I mean, it was not. The comments from bishops and from the patriarch were equivocal and sort of stopped short of actually inciting violence. Although I think you could say that, you know, at best it turned a blind eye. At worst, it was in one way or another encouraging with a wink the violence. And so whether or not those priests were, you know, how connected to the church they were. And I think a lot of the comments Usupashvili said yesterday is, individuals in priestly garbs, you know, so who knows if they were actual, you know, priests. I mean, lots of them were seminary students, but, you know, some of them could have been, there are a lot of defrocked priests. What will be interesting to see is if this heats up to the degree that some of those priests get defrocked. Leader of the Nationals movement, Sandro Bregadze, asserted that Gigo Bokeri and Vano Merabashvili were organizers of the rally. According to Bregadze, UNM gave consultations to the event's organizers. He claimed, quote, they selected the place in front of Kashveti near the April 9th memorial because they wanted a provocation. Rallies like this aren't held in holy places. I'm against violence, but it's a fact that Identobo wants to receive big grants, end quote. This from Bregadze, who was one of Aslan Abashidze's most annoying button polishers for many years. Here's a quote of his about gay people from the 4th of July 2003 on Mzee TV. Quote, frankly, deep in my heart, I would be pleased to agree with Adolf Hitler, who sent several ships with a certain kind of person to the sea and drowned them, end quote.
Well, that pretty much says it all right there. But the location of the protest is an interesting subject because I don't know if people know, but essentially I'm going to go ahead and call them the homophobes, went and stood in front of Parliament starting on the day before and stayed there all night. And I went and talked to them at one point. And as you mentioned, people coming from the region, certainly there were a bunch of country cousins who obviously had nothing better to do who were standing there with...
There will be no snobism on this show about the country cousins.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm talking about like... Yeah.
Yeah. I understand.
But so they occupied the place where the protest was theoretically supposed to take place. And so they had to move where their location was. And, you know, that. So talking about where it's supposed to happen and where they actually did manage to physically gather, they had to move to Pushkin Square, as far as I understand. And then the other ones were in front of the Philharmonie, and then the homophobe group was in front of the Philharmonie and then decided that they were going to walk through, you know, the police cordon and then meet with the other ones.
Violence is the main topic of the day was the main topic of the day for every TV station. Media.ge reviewed the news coverage of leading TV companies. Rustavi, which was quite interesting and worth reading, Rustavi Oti changed its set programming to cover developments live. Time was dedicated to the past rallies, which were dispersed peacefully by clergymen in previous years. Unlike Rustavi Oti, TV9 did not change its set programming at 1 p.m. TV presenter Nino Vardasani. Presenter Nino Vardasanidze reported that the police used tear gas, which was incorrect. The TV company nonetheless did not apologize or correct the inaccuracy. Himedi TV viewers heard a diversity of opinions and interviews with the president, patriarch, and legislators. Himedi TV also reported on the journalist's injury. Maestro TV viewers learned of the developments as they unfolded, the reasons for the counter-protest, the way the police cordon was broken through, and LGBT demonstrators hunted down and attacked on buses and minibuses. Channel 1 began covering the rally during their morning news program. The main 8 p.m. Moambe news started with the dispersal of the rally. The coverage was given 50 minutes.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty
50
good.
50 minutes is obviously the majority.
Over 12,000 people have signed a petition calling on BI, Misha, and the chairman of parliament, Datu Shupashvili, to investigate the homophobic violence in Tbilisi. Another group is saying that propaganda in favor of the LGBT lifestyle be prohibited.
Coming back to the media, I thought that was an interesting point. Basically, I think one of the major issues before the rally was the way that it was being portrayed in the media. And I don't know to what extent we can, you know, assign blame here. But, you know, on the one hand, it was supposed to be a rally against homophobia and essentially intolerance. And people were calling it a gay parade. And so, you know, this was being promoted as a gay parade in the media and by, you know, the church and by others, which is really what got people annoyed. And they said, you know, we don't mind if you're, you know, from some of the people that I discussed, discussed this issue with, they said, we don't mind if you're gay, but you don't get to like flash it in front of our faces and you
right.
don't get
and
a parade.
And our children will see and then they'll, you know, they'll be affected and, you know, be traumatized and, you know, become gay because that's what makes people gay is seeing gay rights marches. Yeah. The other problem with that was that a lot of the people who were attacked were connected with Eden Toba, not all of whom were gay, but some of whom are. But there were a lot of people, many hundreds of people, that wanted to be with them to demonstrate against homophobia that are neither gay nor connected with Eden Toba, that just could never find them to support them. So there was this international portrayal of this thing of thousands of people against the 30 or 50 demonstrators, but there were actually many hundreds, perhaps over 1,000, that would have shown up to support them, but just could never find them because they left so quickly. I mean, good that they left, but...
Well, they left due to the UN's help. I mean, you know, there's the UN women who came and actually convinced the police to bring the buses for them.
Right. And hats off to the UN women for doing that. A number of LGBT activists said they had been subjected to intimidation following the mob violence. And it's listed on their webpage. If you Google Eden Toba Tbilisi, you'll find it. On Saturday, anti-violence protest was held outside the state chancellery. There were some gay rights opponents, not too many, including members of the National Front, whatever that is. On Sunday, about 24 Georgian citizens protested in front of the Georgian embassy in London, demanding that individuals be punished for attacking the rally. On Tuesday, police officers arrested 4 men who attempted forcibly to enter the bus with the escaping LGBT activists. They were charged with disobeying police and petty hooliganism, but the court released them with a 100 lari fine, which is, I don't know, $65 or something. Tomorrow at 7 p.m., a group of citizens is going to hold a demonstration against the violence. This rally slogan is No to Theocracy. One of the most interesting things was the day after, 2 days after Misha's comments about all of this. Now, you know, generally the national movement has been considered better on these issues, or at least more consistent. But his comments were really deeply disappointing. It was sort of like, you know, the holy places and these, you know, the soldiers who'd come back from Afghanistan and right, you know, the day before, and it was sort of inappropriate. And he was. I mean, to me, it really sounded like sucking up to
the conservatives.
Well, sucking up to the conservatives, also sort of desperate. I mean, that he really feels like. I mean, I think he's not so popular among his own team. They kind of wish that professorship somewhere would show up. I think it's that he doesn't want to be the sort of Western puppet cosmopolitan gay rights guy, and so is trying to, you know, the overwhelming majority of Georgians are not okay with gayness. And so it was really disappointing because especially now with a less powerful president.
That has no election to fight.
That has no election to fight. I mean, what they're supposed to do, like a, you know, like a monarch or something like that, is sort of at a time at which there's popular confusion, sort of be the voice of reason and say, you know, and sort of lead the way towards what people, how people are supposed to frame this issue. And he did exactly the opposite. As Usupashvili said in the interview yesterday, that the Tabilpot interview, that he just proving that he's just a completely political animal, which I would agree with.
I'm not going to make any strong commitments to this, but there the word on the street is that an organization might do some survey work regarding attitudes towards the church and to the events on the 17th, and I'll keep you guys posted because I'm very interested personally in seeing what impact this might have on the church and also people's identity related to Orthodoxy. Because I think, you know, Georgians, majority, 92% or something of Georgians are Orthodox, but I would imagine that many of them don't agree with what they saw and the use of violence against a minority like this.
Well, let's hope so. Let's see what the survey says. On Tuesday, Secretary General of the United National Movement, Vano Merabashvili, and Governor of Kakheti, and former Health Minister Zura Chiabedashvili, were detained. The prosecutor's office declared that the charges against Vano could give him as many as 7 to 12 years. Vano is being investigated on 2 counts of corruption connected with the state program on employment. The prosecutor's office says that up to 22,000 employment agents were hired and each paid 240 lari in funding of a total of over 5.2 million coming from the state budget. The prosecutor's office claims the entire program, in fact, was aimed at channeling public funds to UNM's election campaign as employment agents were engaged in UNM's campaigning instead of compiling unemployed citizens' database.
Actually, yeah, if we recall, they were going around knocking door to door, apparently, asking people whether or not they were employed. And so this is, you know, essentially the same tactic that is used by political activists.
Yeah, but not if you've run the country for 8 years.
Right? Yeah, right.
Are you still unemployed? Because we're having an election now.
Right. Yeah, well, no, I mean, and of course the timing was very important because this was, what, 3-2 months or something before the elections.
Yeah. I mean, it was completely politically motivated. I mean, there really is no question about that. Anyone who lives here knows that.
But also, Georgia has terrible party financing regulation, has been extremely restrictive, and so all sides have played dirty when it comes to campaign financing. And so that is, I think, you know, something the new government has to be very careful with, because nobody really played by the rules when it comes to, using money and funds.
And particularly complicated with the, you know, the head of the then opposition, now ruling party, being a billionaire with, you know, almost unlimited amounts of cash. Certainly members of the National Movement were talking about the amount of cash that was moving through the church via priests and given out before the election. I mean, they tried all sorts of things, the National Movement, via banks to and things, but essentially that you know, that didn't really work. How much money that was, it was all cash, and I think, I don't know whether anybody really knows. Anyway, according to the investigation, state lost 5.2 million lari, and Chiabedashvili was also involved with it. In the second charge, Vano is said to have embezzled 152,000 lari to renovate a small private cottage in Khelvachauri on the coast, which did not belong to him. And he lived there and used it, and evidently the owner wasn't so excited about
that. And apparently, he intimidated the person into giving it to him.
Yeah. The prosecutor's office has implicated Vano in the violent dispersal of a protest on Rustaveli Avenue on the 26th of May, 2011, and the murder of Sandra Ghirvliani in 2006. According to Gaila lawyer Leila Tiliauri, Merabashvili can still register as a presidential candidate until he is convicted in accordance with Article 28 of the Constitution.
I don't want to get too into the Ghirvliani murder case, but everybody probably remembers that this was a great rallying cry for the opposition back in 2006. But one thing that I saw that's been being sent around via Facebook is a picture showing Sandro Ghirvliani's mother at his grave, and it says, justice is basically finally being served, Irina. Now that Vano has been arrested.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that the charges are for this employment thing. I don't know whether this, you know, the timing of the arrest was now in order to get people to stop talking about the church and theocracy, or whether this is a, taking care of business, like we're going to, we're going to deal with this. And I mean, it'll be interesting to, to see connected with, this very senior level arrest, what goes on with the church. I would say, I'm not a lawyer, but I do think that the fact that they were relatively slight charges, I mean, if they wanted to hit hard, Ted Tsulukiani, the justice minister, knows more about the Ghirbaliani case than anybody because she dealt with it in Strasbourg for years. And I would say that there's a relatively strong case that, that he could be put in, up for that, but he would serve a lot of jail time for that. And the fact that they're not using that and that they're using something that could be a lower amount of jail time might indicate that, that they're thinking about, how long this should be and that there's a fair amount of politics involved in this. I mean, certainly, I think, and I know Medabashvili fairly well, but there are a lot of different things that he could probably be reasonably convicted on. Whether or not anybody thinks that's a good idea, including the National Movement Cheerleading Squad, the prodigious National Movement Cheerleading Squad in Washington and Brussels and Strasbourg, I don't know. But, but still, I do think that there is some consideration to that. And probably some of it being that they don't want Vano Medvedevich to be the new Tymoshenko. On Sunday, Georgia marked Police Day, as Matthias mentioned. Solemn ceremony was held outside the Ministry of Interior building in Tbilisi. At the ceremony, changes to the department were introduced, including the introduction of the new Škoda model car for police, Suzuki, Honda, and Yamaha motorcycles, and a new police badge and uniform. In addition, oh my God, are they going to use those big, wide, giant hats, like
oh, please.
in your dreams.
It's only so it makes their head look small.
in addition, all patrol cars and inspectors will be provided with small surveillance cameras. They're obliged to tell you when they are recording. No senior members of the former government were invited, as far as I know.
So they have the new cars out on the street already. Yeah, I don't know what they did with the old cars, but the old cars were only like 3-4 years old, right?
Yeah.
2007.
Yeah. And those were bought by Ivanishvili, allegedly. Right?
Or he contributed to that, allegedly.
Yeah. I haven't heard.
Well, Police Day is normally May 6th, actually, but because it was a religious holiday and the day that everybody goes to the cemetery, they moved it to the 15th, just kind of randomly. But I wanted just to mention also, we frequently are talking about, I think, the police and their ability to control crowds. And I don't know if it's just that they constantly get reported on when they're not able to control crowds, but I'm waiting to hear a time when the police have effectively controlled a crowd in Georgia in the 8 years that I've been here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the problem is that I think at least in the 9 years of the National Movement's reign, I think that there were two minds. Controlling crowds is largely a preventative activity. And I think that there were those in power that were more interested in punishment than they were in prevention. Because in the end, even if you have people who want violence, I mean, if you do it right, you can prevent there from being violence. But a lot of times they actually wanted the violence to happen for there to be
political
the punishment,
Sure.
And that's too bad, because an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Okay, anyway, on Sunday, the former NGO, Former Political Prisoners and Political Refugees, headed by well-known annoying person, Nana Kakabadze, held a convention in the Sports Palace and adopted a resolution for Parliament. According to the resolution, on the 1st of October, Georgian people made a choice to restore justice and not cooperate with the previous regime. The resolution demands that the Parliament establish a special commission to study the criminal acts committed by the National Movement and assess them legally, morally, and politically.
Nana Kakabadze has been all over the place, I mean, in terms of political affiliation. As was discussed recently on a forum that I'm on, that she used to work with Jabo Yoseliani. Then when I came to Georgia first, she was closely associated with the people that later formed the UNM and are still, like the head of the National Security Council. And now she apparently is wholeheartedly against the UNM and doing her thing. And I also heard, that she was also leading some sort of protest yesterday where they were calling UNM people you know, gays and things like that. So, I mean, I don't, her reputation is amazing to me, like how she's managed to continue to function. I don't know if you have any comments on.
Well, she was Mkhitaryani and was supposedly the buchalteri of the Mkhitaryani back in the day.
The accountant
for them, and they had a lot of money, a whole lot of it.
So it was basically a group of thugs.
Paramilitary group.
Yeah. Thuggish individuals. A lot of that money that she was controlling probably came in from Abkhazia in the early 90s for the period in which Georgia, in which they were involved in sort of controlling that area and in a quite unpleasant period that looms large in the minds of the Abkhaz. And then she somehow sort of managed, I don't know what it is that she manages to have portrayed herself, at least during the 90s, as a sort of NGO figure.
Right.
With this, you know, protecting political prisoners and things like that, which was really just working with the Mkhitaryani when the Mkhitaryani started to get locked up by Shevardnadze. And so a lot of, you know, the people that were against Shevardnadze, she was against Shevardnadze, but from a different direction, but wasn't really one of the completely wacky Zviadists that were controlled by Manan Archfadze, Zviad Gamzahordia's wife. So, I don't know, she's just always sort of managed to find a place for herself. I think more dangerously, early on when Bidzina showed up, she sort of glommed onto him, and I think it was somewhat reciprocated. There are a lot of stories that she made a lot of money, a whole lot of money early on from Bidzina. Do whatever she was supposed to do. But she's an extremely extremely divisive figure.
Well, for committed listeners too, they might remember that she was the one that was calling people's families from when there was the discussion about who should be considered a political prisoner and who shouldn't be, and there was the accusation that she was actually calling people up and saying this person on the commission refused to allow your relative to be included.
Yeah, exactly. When the Gaila was saying there's a specific legal definition for who's a political prisoner is not, and Gaila had done a whole lot of research about who was actually a political prisoner and who wasn't. Kakabadze just showed up with a list. There were also stories that she had talked to families about making a little contribution in order to get them on the list. And then when Gaila said, let's, you know, stick to the political prisoner definition, then she called everybody up and said, no, it was Chirgulashvili who kept your kid in jail. Nino Borjanadze, leader of the Democratic Movement United Georgia, said she will register as a presidential candidate soon.
It's going to be a very entertaining campaign.
Exactly.
There's lots of
especially
interesting figures coming back.
Yeah, exactly. I just pray that Shalva Natalashvili registers.
I think didn't the Labour Party say they will have a different guy?
Yeah, they did. I think they did. Yeah.
Who?
I can't remember.
I mean, who are they except Shalva, you know? Vanuatu recalled its decision regarding the recognition of Abkhazia. Vanuatu Prime Minister Moana Karkasis Kalosil said that his country made a mistake and now recognizes Georgian territorial integrity. Statement was made at a meeting with Misha. I will say that Transparency International Georgia, using the enormous network of chapters, had a lot of communication with the strong Vanuatu TI chapter, and I think was quite instrumental in that decision.
Where did they actually meet?
In Malaysia. In Thailand, I think. There was like some kind of big Southeast Asia, whatever, congress event.
Okay, Misha wasn't in Vanuatu.
No,
okay.
Abkhazia and South Ossetia are reportedly expecting recognition soon from other countries. Ecuador and Belarus are the ones rumored to be considering recognition.
But is the economy so bad in Belarus that Lukashenko kind of needs some?
Supposedly, the economy in Belarus is really bad. Yeah. You know, energy, transport—they have incredibly expensive gas, and it's kind of, you know, I mean, it would have an enormous influence if Gazprom were to just, you know, offer them a nickel off the price of gas, and you know, I'm sure that's what the negotiation's over. Ministry of Finance accused former General Director of Georgian Railways, Irakliy Azubayev, of embezzlement and misappropriation of public funds, overcharging for repairs to railway cars to the tune of 51 million lari. Tbilisi City Court sentenced him in absentia to pretrial detention for 2 months. According to Azubayev's lawyer, the defendant is currently in the UK studying and intends to return to Georgia after considering the court's decision. He said the court's decision will be challenged in the Court of Appeals. Seven former employees of Georgian Railways were also involved in the case and had been released on bail. Thought I'd mention that there are now crosswalks being painted along the streets intersecting Rustavelli, which is a fabulous development that ascribable to one of Tepeopod.com's favorite NGOs, Iare Pechit, which means go by foot. So we'll try and put up a link to that that website and Facebook page. The next step will be to persuade somebody to start giving parking tickets and to talk to the Modi Modi guys and not let people park in the middle of the crosswalk so that people can walk down Rustavelli unimpeded. Last Thursday, Russia's Channel One broadcast a documentary film that contained an investigation into Givi Targamadze's planned revolution against Putin and how he managed the Russian opposition with the help of American money.
With $700 of American money.
With $700 of American
like
money.
Like $3,000 or something.
Right. Or as they say in Russia, $700. After the film, a TV debate was held where Valery Khabarzanian was a special guest. The documentary features testimony from three Georgians. First is former alleged political prisoner Tristan
Tsitalashvili.
He says that Targamadze suggested Misha bomb Skhinvali with cluster bombs. The second is Khabarzanian, former state security minister, who has said he intends to form a pro-Russian political party.
There's probably some money in that enterprise.
Yeah, I would guess. I mean, I'm sure there's a line of people who would say, yeah, absolutely, I'll set up a pro-Russian political party. Khabarzanian is the Kagebezhniki who was the security minister under Shevardnadze, and when the Rose Revolution happened and Misha went up to meet with Putin for the first time and was allegedly 45 minutes late to the meeting. In that, supposedly, Putin said, you know, great, yes, we can do a deal and work everything out. Relate, you know, Abkhazia will take a little while, South Ossetia, no problem. The one thing I ask is that Khabarzanian stay as security minister, you know, presumably because he's a Kagebezhniki. And Misha answered equivocally, went home, and immediately fired him.
Didn't he get a position in the new Minister of Interior?
I don't know if he does, but there are a number of people from his ministry who evidently do have positions there. I mean, I'm not saying that Misha should have left him in place. The guy clearly works for the Kremlin, but just saying. The third individual is, you may remember, Nana Kakabadze, who calls Targamadze a clever criminal and says that he really planned to create mass protest in Russia. I mean, of course, like, you know, most of Russia wants mass protest in Russia. I mean, you know, what? I don't know. Like, leave poor Givi and his $700 alone.
Does Georgia have cluster bombs?
Yes, and Georgia, both sides used cluster bombs in 2008.
Okay.
Georgia, the difference is Georgia admitted it. Russia said that they did not.
Because there's that whole cluster bomb convention, right? I mean, the United States also has not signed up to, I thought.
That's correct. Yeah. The other thing about Targamadze was that he made some pretty interesting allegations about, I can't remember whether we've reported on them, maybe last week I think we mentioned that that Soso Alavidze is supposedly dealing with government procurement, who's the former head of Tbilisi police a million years ago under Shevardnadze, and a lot of other allegations about specific people doing not such healthy things.
Wait, he's around? Soso Alavidze?
Supposedly Soso Alavidze is around.
Wow.
On Tuesday, employees of a ferroalloy factory in Zestoponi held a brief warning strike. The strikers demand a 50% increase in wages. On the 15th of May, Misha declared the following day a day of mourning because of the death of three Georgian soldiers in Afghanistan. On Tuesday, Misha met with Senator Mark Rubio.
Marco Rubio,
potential U.S. presidential candidate.
A person who always needs to drink
water. And thirsty mouth.
Thirsty mouth. Misha and Rubio discussed political events in Georgia and the importance of Georgia's integration into NATO. Misha, with his typically imprudent Republican fetish, quote, "During the previous visit to the USA, I met with the acting authorities' representatives, but now it's important to get acquainted with the USA's future leaders," end quote. Oh, Misha. on Saturday, Misha awarded the President of the United States, former President of the United States, Bill Clinton, with St. George's Order of Victory. The President's administration announced the award had been bestowed upon the former president for strengthening the ties between the two countries and his special support of Georgia. Isn't that the one, the St. George's Order, where almost everybody who gets it ends up getting thrown in jail or assassinated? Or no, that's the Vakhtang Gorgasale. One, I don't know. There's one that, like, every time
I'm going to refuse both of them.
every time
Shevard... It's like a kiss of death, yeah, basically.
Exactly. Every time Shevard nods it, give it out, you know, then in a little while, you know, something.
Bam!
On Friday, the government decided to double funding for students who are beneficiaries of social programs, to double the funding. The budget allocation for the tuition grant will be 23 million lari. Of this amount, 10 million lari will be targeted to make 16 specialties free of charge. The remaining money will be distributed as tuition grants.
Do you know what those specialties are? Because I was talking with someone and they were saying that they were really...
Crowd control, I think.
Yeah, well, that would be a good one. But unfortunately, I think that they aren't really good ones. I mean, in terms of the Georgian market, what I heard was that they were for things like philosophy and other things that aren't really, you know, targeted.
But you're against philosophy? Who's against philosophy?
I'm, you know, that's something that you can just study by yourself and ponder. I know. I'm not going to look at the forum this week.
I don't know. We try to figure out what the specialties are. We don't know what the specialties are. On Tuesday, BI stated that Misha will be invited to the reception for Georgia's Independence Day on May 26th. Earlier, BI set up a special commission to organize events of the day. Education Minister and Otsneva's presidential candidate, Georgi Margvelashvili, was appointed the commission's chair. BI said that the festival's event will be held in 29 regions of Georgia. There are 29 regions of Georgia? Last Wednesday, Media.ge published an article according to which the 2009 Tbilisi City Hall transferred 7 million lari to Imedi TV for preparing and broadcasting the TV show Kronika Tbilisi. In 2011, Tbilisi City Hall transferred 1,000 lari to Radio Imedi for airing advertisements. According to the same source, between 2003 and March 2013, Tbilisi City Hall didn't transfer any amount to Channel 9, Maestro Kavkasia, or Ajada TV. Media.ge did not receive information from the mayor's office about funds transferred to Rustavioti, the Georgian public broadcaster, or MZE.
Well, that can be seen, if that number is correct, and then I think there are still some questions why only Imedi got so much money, and then we requested the same information from the City Hall and got different numbers.
We meaning Transparency International Georgia, the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus.
But what is clear is that Imedi and Rustavi too have benefited from public funds, you know, in terms of the tax credits that they, or the tax amnesties that they benefited from, and in terms of public money being used for advertising and sponsoring of shows, which is illegal. It's definitely it's illegal according to Georgian Broadcasting Regulation that a government entity sponsors TV shows.
Indeed. Owners of TV3, former Real TV Lali Egadze, sold 90% of the TV company for 200,000 lari. She purchased the channel for 30,000 lari. Egadze handed over...
She's a person that nobody's ever heard of. She's one of the many front people who have run this kind of former Ministry of Interior / Defense station.
Egadze handed over 30% of the shares to former finance minister and president of the Georgian Chamber of Commerce, Kaha Bandurashvili, first vice president of GCCI, Lasha Chenkeli, and became a 30% shareholder businessman. David Mijavia gained ownership over 30% as well. Bandurashvili was appointed director of the channel. Lali refused to clarify why she bought the TV company a few months ago and the reason she decided to sell the shares now. Quote, firstly, it's a private issue in commercial terms. And secondly, I was not willing to get involved in politics. I did not want to have a political type of television. I was thinking of cultural or business channel.
Well, she picked a really good channel then.
End quote. Exactly. Real TV. Georgian Foundation Partnership for Road Safety is participating in the second Global Road Safety Week by organizing long short walk campaign in Batumi, Tel Aviv, Rustavi, Tbilisi, Mukhrani, Ninots, Mindan, Lagodechi. The walks were held in central seats in urban areas. The message of the campaign was, our goal is safe roads for all. Participants called on drivers, local authorities, and traffic police to pay more attention to the rights and safety of pedestrians and children on the road. In total, there were over 3,000 walkers involved in the campaign, which began on April 15th and ends this week.
It was a bit unfortunate that it wasn't advertised in advance. Like, I didn't hear about it after that happened.
Yeah, I heard about it after. Didn't hear about it beforehand. But, yeah, they still managed to get a good number of people. A protest in favor of decriminalizing marijuana will be held on Tbilisi June 2nd at 4 p.m. in front of the former parliament building. More than 10,000 people have already said that they will attend on Facebook.
And every single one will show up, because if there's somebody who really gets right up from the chair and goes out, it's that, possible.
For sure, yeah. I mean, Tbilpod.com has no opinion whatsoever on this issue. However, there is a demonstration June 2nd at 4 p.m. in front of the former parliament building at 4 p.m. on June 2nd. And now, for your parliamentary news update, the Committee on Agricultural Issues considered the draft changes to the law on agricultural lands, which we've mentioned before. According to the draft, restrictions will be established for foreign citizens who seek to purchase agricultural land. Long-term lease with some obligations may be possible, but until the idea is figured out, the committee has declined the initiative. According to the chair of the committee, Gigla Agulashvili, this topic needs to be settled immediately. Deputy Minister of Agriculture Dato Sharashidze stated that at this stage, selling land to foreign citizens is suspended and a working group will be established to study this topic. Although, according to the civil registry, that's not true.
Yeah, just because an MP says it, it doesn't, right, it doesn't make a law being enforced.
Exactly.
What's the reasoning behind that, too? I mean,
I think it's just that it's relatively easy to introduce the law. I mean, you introduce the law and you say this law is introduced, but the committee is not hearing it. So
No. I mean, but even before, actually, selling agricultural land to foreign citizens was illegal, and then they made it legal.
No, there was a constitutional court decision that this is discriminatory, and so it has to become legal, and that was like a
right.
Year
but what
ago.
I mean, it had been illegal before,
yes.
And so I just don't understand the reasoning for making it illegal.
I think the idea is just that, I mean, it has to do with general nationalistic anxiety and more reasonable anxiety. For example, what's happening, what the Chinese are doing in Africa, that they're just buying very, very large parts of countries in order to produce food for themselves.
Or for speculation or whatever.
I mean, that it's so cheap to buy the land for places that have huge sovereign wealth funds or for, you know, very wealthy individuals, that it's just it's not a good thing for the nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of like the Japanese saying, you know, America can produce rice more cheaply than we can, but we think we should produce our own food, that's just a good thing, and so we're going to subsidize our rice. It's a similar
type there were also a number of cases where Indian investors, for example, came in and wanted to build a farm, and they bought the land legally from the government or from private people, and then the locals got really upset and didn't allow them to, you know, enter their land or start working there. So there was like a lot of, I think, kind of xenophobic incidences.
No question about it. Yeah, and
that probably feeds up into the Georgian dream now.
Yeah. I haven't really heard of cases of people buying agricultural land here and then, you know, abusing it and sending all of the food to China, for example.
Well, no, so, they haven't. You know, I mean, there hasn't really been a whole lot of farming that has been, I mean, it hasn't, there have been very few foreigners that have bought land here, you know, until just the last year or two. The last year or two, there have been a lot. I've heard that the largest private agricultural land owner is from Iran. And owns many thousands of hectares, and they're the South African guys in Gardabani, and you know,
Indian
there's
investors in Kentucky.
It's not a huge sort of groundswell, but there's concerns as to what that might mean. I personally am in favor of, you know, go ahead and sell it and let anybody who wants own it, better to use it, but it's, you know, agricultural land here is very, very cheap compared to a lot of places around the world.
It's actually not that cheap. I talked to people from former Eastern Germany, and basically you pay the same prices that you pay here in some parts of Germany and in Romania. So, I mean, it's like, it's cheap, but there are other cheap places as well.
I also wonder, though, is this going to be then implemented retroactively, and those people who have purchased, those foreigners who have purchased agricultural land, will it all of a sudden be seized?
An important question. Chairman of the Parliament, Dr. Usubashvili, signed amendments into the law in common courts regulating staffing of the High Court of Justice. At the end of April, Misha vetoed the bill and stated that MPs ignored the Venice Commission's recommendations. Parliament passed with its first reading a package of legislative amendments to the law on broadcasting, which introduces measures aimed at increased financial transparency of broadcasters, reforming rules on composition of Public TV's Board of Trustees, and transforming Ajara TV's status into that of a public broadcaster. The meme this week emerges from the aftermath of the homophobic mob violence. So much of the protests in images and videos have been replayed and edited on the internet. They're just all over the place. The one here that we'll put up on the list is a photoshopped image of a priest from the protest armed with a stool ready to attack LGBTers surrounded by Star Wars clone warriors. I mean, there's so many pictures of that guy in that famous photograph. There's the one of Mother Georgia holding the stool. We'll post those on our forum.
They also put his face on in Pulp Fiction and, you know, had the scene where, yeah.
Right, yeah. There's tons of, it's, I mean, they're very funny. Let's hope that somebody figures out. I mean, who is that guy? Do people know who that guy is? Yeah. Yeah, there's been talk of it. Sort
the
of
the official claim was that he had surgery recently, so he brought a stool so he could sit down. Necessary.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. Just a, well, all right. Let's hope that guy gets locked up, Magdad. Yeah, there's a lot of talk of sort of naming and shaming that, you know, the public will just start put, you know, figuring out who those people are and start, you know, putting it up. So just to save the police the shoe leather. This week's GeoCapital number is 2.7, which is the percentage of Georgians that say they use cannabis annually, according to the UN's 2012 World Drug Report. Russia is at 3.5%, while in Turkey it is 1.9%. The Netherlands, the number is 7%, compared with 15% in Italy, 5% in Germany, 13% in Canada, and 14% in the United States.
Go war on drugs.
The biggest stoners can be found in the West Pacific, in the Northern Mariana Islands, with 22% of the population using marijuana annually, and Palau, with 24% of people doing the same. This week's English language movies at the Roosevelt Movie Theater across from Parliament is, starting Saturday, May 25th, The Great Gatsby. At 4:15 p.m., tickets are 10 lari, 50 tetri. We have no Kolga information this week. Sorry about that, but was correct that the Kolga movies, as far as we know, have moved to 6 p.m. Today, Tbilisi's 15th annual International Book Festival opens. The festival is held at Expo Georgia Pavilion Number 11 on 118 Sedateli Avenue in Didube. Various book presenters and contests will be organized during the festival, which lasts until May 26th. There will be a Radarami table. For those few of you who don't know, Radarami translates recent big idea books into Georgian and distributes them for free throughout towns and villages in Georgia. Check radarami.org. That's Romeo Alpha Delta, Alpha Romeo Alpha Mike India.org.
And that's Do you have any association with Radarami, Mark?
Yeah, I like them a lot. There's a new Lebanese place open on La Ghidze, just off of Rustaveli. It's called Cedar of Lebanon. It's open from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The address is La Ghidze number 6. It's just directly across the street from New Asia, the best Asian place in town. It's great. I highly recommend this new Lebanese place.
You haven't bought into that too, have you? I'm kidding. We get no support, no financial support for any of these promotions that we do.
We'll talk later, Cameron. There's also a great exhibition, as mentioned last week, at the Blue Gallery across from High School Number 1 and next door to the Marriott. I have no connection with the artist exhibiting there or the Blue Gallery.
I believe he is deceased.
You know? Yeah, he's deceased. I can't even remember his name. Kakabadze, right, but I've heard it's really good. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tpeelpod.com. We will finish up with the 1973 hit by Billy Preston, Will It Go Round in Circles?
I've got a song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friends. I've got a song, I ain't got no melody.
Pretty fly high like a bird up in the sky. Pretty go round in circle. Pretty fly high like a bird up in the sky. Fly high. I've got a story, ain't got no motto. Did the bad guy win every once in a while? In a while, when it go round in circles, when it fly high like a bird up in the sky, when it go round in circles, when it fly high like a bird up in the sky. I got a dance, ain't got no steps, no. I'm gonna let the music move around. I've got a dance, I ain't got no steps. I'm gonna let the music move me around. When it go round in circles, when it fly high like a bird up in the sky. When it go round in circles, when it fly high like a bird. Song, I ain't got no melody. I'm gonna sing it to my friend. When it go round in circles, when it fly high like a bird up in the sky. When it go round in circles, when it fly high.